All righty then. Now that we got rid of them, I always want to say that because they are so eager usually to leave. Good to see you tonight. Good to be here. You know, before we get started with our service, I just feel something, you know, I just feel directed to the Lord here to do something. And it's this, you know, our troops right now in Afghanistan are going through a horrible time. And there's been some really bad stuff happening recently. And I tell you, Matt and I were talking about, just today, we've been talking about it over the last week or so, about just how there are no easy solutions. There are just no easy solutions in a situation like that. And we finally decided the only way to change things is to change the hearts of men. You know, you can't battle people down. That, you know, if people are willing to die and give their kids to die, you know, it's kind of hard to beat them, you know. And so tonight, I just want to pray for our troops, and I want to pray for those that are in harm's way. I mean, it's one thing to sit at home here and make judgments. It's another thing to sit in political leadership and you know, and at the Pentagon and make decisions. It's another thing to have your behind on the line, you know, have your be right there and your life be threatened. And, you know, all of us have people in our lives. If I understand right, Jeff Coverdale has gone back. He's in Afghanistan right now. You know, Jeff, who's a member of our church here in the Air Force, and Jeff is back over there. Frank is not. Frank has gone to Korea, though. Is there anybody else in the church that's in Afghanistan? I know Sam was there, not officially with the military, but he's returned not long ago. And so, but anyway, James, are you doing something here? James, if you'd come up, you and Robin, because y'all are active military, just to stand in. We're going to pray for them tonight, and just as a point of contact, I know y'all are not there, and we don't want you going. But just as a point of contact. Is anybody else in here on active military duty right now? I don't think so. Thank God. But I just want to pray for y'all. And y'all just come up. We're not praying for them. They're representing their brothers and sisters and those that are standing there. And I know you know people that are there now. You know, we all know Jeff. And so, you know, I'm just so thankful to God that he has helped for. So let's just stand. And if you want to, you can come up and gather around them here or Brother James. And let's just pray for him. Get up and come over here, buddies. We're going to pray together. Father, we just pray. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, we pray not just for them, but we pray for all the troops that are there, because they're there representing us, because they're there on behalf of this nation, and we're citizens of this nation. And Father, because of what they're doing it in our stead. It's like us being there. And Father, we lift them up to you. And this is not an easy situation, and this is not something that a politician can fix. Father, we need help from heaven, and we need wisdom from God. We know this isn't just an earthly fight, Father, that there are a lot of things that are even spiritual situations that are being battled out in the natural there. But Father, we pray for our troops, and we pray for wisdom. Father, wisdom for the commanders, wisdom for every person. Father, that they would step the right way instead of the wrong way, that supernaturally that there would be help for them, and that they would know how to tap into that supernatural help. Father, we pray for those men and women who are there in Afghanistan, far from their families, far from their loved ones. Father, I pray for those that surround them, the chaplains and the others that are there, Father, that they would minister effectively to them. And Father, we just need help with what's going on. Only you really know what's happening. And Father, tonight we just ask you for mercy. We need mercy for our nation. We need mercy tonight for our troops. We need mercy for those who have put themselves in harm's way for us. We pray, Father, for mercy. We pray for your grace and your wisdom, Father. May we know, Father, what to do. May we see clearly a pathway forward in this, in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for those that are the heads of our military, and those, even our commander-in-chief, and all those that are making these decisions. Father, show them what to do. Give them a plan. Give them the help and the strength that they need. And Father, finally, we pray the most important prayer of all. We pray for laborers that would be sent, and for people to be reached with the gospel, because the only answer to war is for the hearts of men and women to be changed. That's the only answer. The only answer is to change people. And Father, we pray that whatever way is necessary to get the gospel into those unreached people, in Jesus' name, Father, we ask you to open a wide door for ministry into those places. Many of those people have for thousands of years been closed off from the gospel. And we pray for an opening tonight, for openings in Jesus' name, for openings for the gospel to get in to the hearts of these people. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. And Father, what seems impossible to man, we know is impossible with God. All things are possible. And we thank you tonight for opening up a pathway, opening doors in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. 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 Hallelujah. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. It's your desire that all would be saved. And we lift these guys, these men and women up to you that are opposing us, that they may be saved in Jesus' name. And Father, the ones on our side that have not come to know you, that they would be saved in Jesus' name, that laborers would come to them. In Jesus' name, for salvations and changes of heart, changes in thinking, changes of lives. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Be seated in hell. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't know if I shared this with you a couple weeks ago when I was sharing some of the news from my recent trip over into Australia, and one of the men that I had a conversation with, he was sharing this. He's one of the men that works with, he's the director of Open Doors. That's Brother Andrew's ministry that goes in and ministers to the persecuted church. And he's the director for Australia and Asia. And so, he has an opportunity to meet with a lot of people, do a lot of things. And I shared some stories. Remember the story I shared about the woman that had just gotten back from visiting with the woman whose son had been delivered to her door in a box, chopped up because he had dared to show the Jesus film into a Muslim, you know, to Muslim people, and they were really angry, and so they showed her. My goodness. But anyway, he was sharing with me that he has been in contact with and dealing with, and in fact had recently met with a member of the Taliban who has gotten born again. And this member of the Taliban is in quite a pickle, because what happened to him is he began to cry out to God. And this is happening all over the Muslim world. He had begun to cry out to God, like, I need to know that you're... Because, you know, in the heart of every person, it doesn't matter what you were raised in, it doesn't matter, you know, what your parents taught you, in the heart of every person is a desire to know God. I mean, we were made for fellowship with Him. And this man had just begun to cry out. And, of course, he had been raised. That's all he had ever known, was this world of Islam. That's all he had known. And obviously, if you're a member of the Taliban, and you know, you're pretty steeped in it. And here he was, but he was crying out to God. And what happened, and this has frequently been happening, there's a lot of reports of this, that Jesus is appearing to these people. Because some of them, you know, how are you going to get in? I mean, me and you can't just march up. And you understand what I'm saying? This is an impossible situation in the natural for you and me to get into. But many of them are having visions and dreams. And this particular man had had a vision where Jesus had appeared to him and told him, I'm the one you're looking for. And through a series of events, he had gotten in touch. The guy didn't tell me, and if he did, I couldn't have remembered. And then it's really none of our business. But God worked it out, and he was able to get in touch with my friend, the guy I met, Nigel. And he's been working with him, and he's born again now. And but this guy is still a member of the Taliban. But here's the deal. How do you get out of being a member of the Taliban? There's really just only way to get out, you know. And so he's grappling, man. He's just really in a place of figuring out, because you can't just march in one day and say, I quit. That's like trying to quit the mob. You know, they say there's only one way to get out. Well, this is kind of like that, but multiplied, you know, times 10. And then besides that, he's not just quitting that. He's quitting the whole religion. And it's not the kind of thing where they get happy about you quitting it, you know. They don't get happy about hardly anything. Matt said to me today, wouldn't you hate to be a Muslim? And I said, well, I would. But one thing about being Muslim is it seems like now that you can get away with a lot of stuff that Christians can't. And so, you know, they seem to be getting away with some things that if we were, as Christians, we can't get away with. Still doesn't make me want to be a Muslim, because then I wouldn't get to know Jesus. So, but anyway, but isn't that fascinating what God's doing? I'm telling you, God's doing amazing things in people's lives. Lots and lots of people in lots of places that we don't hear about or know about. They're coming to Jesus. Coming to Jesus. And it's exciting, you know. Praise the Lord. So tonight, I have another message on in our series on identification and identifying with Christ, and so we'll get into it. Before we do, I just want to ask this. Anybody got a quick testimony? They don't try to take over my service, but anybody got a quick testimony they want to share? Just going once. Sharon's got one. You got Neva? Neva, come and tell yours. Sharon, you can come and tell yours. Sharon, you can go first. Yeah.
So, I was running around my neighborhood the other day.
Literally.
Really, running around.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And a bug flew in my eye. And it hurt really bad. And it took me forever to get it out. I ended up getting an eye infection, a really bad eye infection. And I saw Fabiola. We went to this Bible study together, and she prayed for me, and it's gone.
Praise the Lord.
Completely gone.
Thank God. Yeah. How it ought to be, isn't it? Praise God. Neva?
I've been praying for about 6 months for my work situation, and it has gone incredibly downhill. And so I had a meeting with Pastor Matt, and we discussed it, and he said his final question was, if you decide to resign, how will you feel? And I said, total peace. Well, things got even, well, back up. He said, what will you do? And I said, I don't know, but God will provide. Well, I left him and went to meet with somebody about something else. And they said, we want to meet with you after the wedding. Our daughter's getting married this weekend, which is an incredible gift of God, this young man. And so yesterday, something else sent the situation further down. And I said, okay, I'm done. I called the president and I said, I resign. You'll have my letter of resignation in the email tonight. And before the day was out, I've had three people ask me, what kind of job are you looking for? And you'll have a job. And one is doing exactly what I'm doing, but in another state.
Oh, wow.
God hasn't said to take it.
It's good but to be wanted.
But the offer is there anyway, so... if you have to make a decision, seek God first. Get confirmation from your pastor. Now, your pastor's not going to tell, if he's Pastor Matt, he's not going to tell you what to do. But he's going to ask you questions to make you think and allow God to lead you in the right direction. And remember this. No, the person you're working for is not your source. Jesus Christ is.
Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Oh, Carol has one? Okay.
This is really, really sweet and nice. We give our salespeople a quota, personal quota that they have to meet for the weekend. And this particular sales lady, this is not for me particularly, this is for someone who works for us. But it was a big goal, and she said that she was praying, and she's told God, she said, God, if you want me to meet this goal, you're going to have to bring me the right customer. And she was quite a ways away from the goal. And a lady was driving in from Metter, Georgia, on her way to Costco, and she took a wrong turn into our parking lot. And came in the store. It just so happened it was this lady's turn. And she ended up spending about $8,000. And so...
What? She just happened to turn in?
She just happened to turn in, lost.
That's really funny.
Yeah, she was lost. But, yeah, there are divine connections. This particular lady, it was real just amusing. The whole thing was very amusing. She said she had shopped all over. Savannah, Statesboro, North Carolina, everywhere. She had not found the furniture she was looking for. And when she came into our store, she just started finding all these different things that she needed. And, you know, God is just amazing, and he will meet our every need. And he has a great sense of humor. And
yeah,
he can humor us while he does it. And he cares about us.
Amen. That's right.
So he sent her to our sales lady.
Yeah, that's a great story. Praise the Lord. When you said Metter, Georgia, it reminded me of a seed from the sower for the garden of your heart. That's what I always think of when I hear Metter, Georgia. He's passed away now. So anybody, yeah, Rachel has one. Yeah, they still run them. He's really a nice man.
I posted this on our church Facebook. January, my friend that's been coming to church for a while here now, her dad's been an alcoholic all his life. He's dying of it now. They've basically told him that he's going to die anytime. And he's still an alcoholic and still, and he's just something else. He's in his early 50s, I think, and he just looks like he's probably in his 70s or 80s. He just, it's beat him up. And he still probably does some drugs and stuff on the side, too. And so January just had on her heart that she just wants to see him. He lives in Florence, South Carolina. And she didn't come to meet him until she was older, and it was just one of those things that this was her last opportunity. She felt like to just spend a little bit of time before he died. And so she's like, Rachel, you know, consult me about it. What do you think? And I was like, yeah, I think that it would be the best thing for you. I think it would be the best thing for him. And I was like, I'm here to support you and help you. And so her boyfriend came, went up there and got him and brought him back, and he stayed for about 2 weeks. And I ate breakfast with him every morning and drunk coffee with him every morning. He barely sleeps at night, but he barely eats anything. And I started getting him to eat, which was awesome. But January, when the first night or two that she had a conversation with him, wanted to know, you know, do you believe in God? You know, you're about to die here. You know, I want to make sure that you're good. And he didn't want to hear nothing about God, didn't want to hear nothing about church, and end up getting mad and cussing her out and telling her, if I have to hitch a ride back home, I'm going home tonight. And I was like, no, no. She's like, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll stop. And so so over a week period of time with him being there, and just, and I'm on my days off, I'm tired, I was trying to sleep, but just, it was like God woke me up extra early, and I went every morning and drunk coffee with him, and just little tidbits giving me opportunity to talk to him. And finally, this one particular day, I was sitting drinking coffee with him, and I said, his nickname is Jap, because he kind of has chinky eyes, and so it was just one of his nicknames for Jeff Nees, I guess. But anyway, so I said,
it's not very nice.
But it's been his nickname all his life. And I said, Jap. And he looked at me and I said, you know, God loves you. He said, Rachel, I don't want to hear about this. And I said, no, you need to hear this. And I said, it don't matter, you know. And I just give the spill of, you know, God loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you're doing right now. He died for you anyway. And I said, I talked to him about just his past. I said, have you ever, you know, believed in God? Have you ever? Because he said he didn't even believe in God. He said, yeah, I once did. He said, I'm just not good. I'm just, you know, I'm not good enough. And, you know, give that particular spiel. And so I just assured him that God loves him. I said, if you've ever asked God to come in your life, he's never going to leave you and he's never going to forsake you. He is there with you. And he said, I know I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die. And I said, it doesn't matter. I said, but you can die and have peace that God is with you and that you don't have to be afraid. And he just looked at me, and I didn't know if it went anywhere. But so then continued for the next week every morning, eating breakfast with him and drinking coffee. And the day that he decided he was going to go back, I took him to the bus stop. And before he got out, I said, can I pray with you? And he said, yeah. And I said, okay. And I prayed over him and just prayed peace and prayed, you know, just God's wisdom and direction that he's got a good plan for his life, you know, all these things. And he sent me a text shortly after, and he said, you know, you're the one of the sweetest things I've ever met, you know. And so then just this past week, he sent me a message, and he said, you know what? I got Jesus now. And he said, I don't know why God brought you in my life at this point in my life. He's like, but I'm not scared anymore. Wow. And he said, you know, I love you like a daughter, and you know, and all this. But it was just so, you know, he was saved. And all these years he's been thinking that he was not, and I, you know, asked him those particular questions, and he has been. But now he's not afraid to face it anymore. He's not afraid, you know, of where he's going. So that was just awesome to me.
Thank God. That is awesome. Awesome testimony. Thank you, Rachel, for doing that. I know it's not always easy, especially when you know somebody's rejected, you know, better than you, so to speak, or someone who has a better place in his life than you do. But it's amazing who God will, you know, use you to reach. It just never ceases to amaze me who God will reach out to through us if we just give him something to work with. And it's so interesting what you said to him. That's a message. People have heard a lot about church, and they've heard a lot about God, but what they have not heard a lot about is that it's what he's done for you. It's not about what you've done. And so many people, they're just so focused on what they've done, and they feel so badly about that. They just, you know, and the devil uses that to beat people up, man. He just beats people up with it. And that's why we have to share the good news, the gospel of peace that Matt was talking about on Sunday, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank God. Amen. Well, maybe some of you, that will encourage you with people in your life and people that, you know, you come across. I like how you partnered up with January to meet her, you know, to reach her dad. And oftentimes we've done that. We've seen that again and again where we like tag team people. Kristen recently recorded a testimony for our I Give Life course. And several years ago in the life of our church, we had a couple who was in the church, and the husband was just completely against. He was like, he would get angry, but he'd never had God in his life, and he was adamantly opposed to anything to do with God. He'd been a soldier. He'd been in Afghanistan. He went into Afghanistan, one of the first that went in after September 11th, 2001. And so anyway, and he had just had a lot of terrible things happen to him, and just through a series of events, it wasn't the wife. He was shut down. He wouldn't hear anything from his wife, but somehow another Kristen was able to get through to him, and she wrote him a letter and shared the gospel with him, and he received Jesus. And then 6 months later, he died, and he was a young man. And so you just don't know what's in the future for people. It's just like Jose's friend Bobby, that he led to the Lord like 54 hours or so before he died. Just what day? You led him to the Lord on Saturday, and he died on Tuesday. Is that how it was? Just amazing. You don't know what's going on with people. It's interesting because we're going to talk about death tonight. But turn in your Bible, if you will, over to Romans chapter 8. Thank you guys for sharing those testimonies. Romans chapter 8, last couple of weeks I've been talking about you and who you are in Christ, your identity in Christ. The first week that I started this, I talked about how you belong to God. Thank God we belong to him. And then last week we talked about you live by faith. So tonight we're going to talk about something here from Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And that's the part I want to talk about, that we have been made free from the law of sin and death. That's the title of our message tonight. You are free from the law of sin and death. And I want to talk about that. And the message, it says it was very interesting. It says, with the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. I just love how that says that. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. And whether we recognize that or not, without Christ, we were all living under that tyranny, a brutal tyranny of sin and death. We were enslaved to sin. We were in an awful place. And, you know, and maybe we weren't as far as January's father, as far as suffering, you know, in this natural realm. But I'm telling you, it physically is not the only way people suffer. People suffer in all kinds of ways. And some people achieve what the world considers to be success in response to their pain, because they cover up their pain by, you know, they mask it by just going for it, so to speak, but they're still messed up on the inside. Just that pain and horror that's on the inside, that in response to sin and death, is still there. Phillips' translation says this. It says, for the new spiritual life, the new spiritual principle of life in Christ lifts me out of the old vicious circle of sin and death. And see, that's where most people live, is in a cycle of sin and death. That's where they live. Now, if you're in Christ, redeemed from that, you have been brought out from under, you no longer are under that law of sin and death. But unless you have knowledge, Jesus said that it's when you know the truth that your freedom comes. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's in the knowledge and understanding of the truth and then taking a stand on that truth that really enables you to live free. So there are many people who live under the bondage of sin and death, under the subject to the law of sin and death, that are free from it. That would be similar to a guy who has been declared not guilty and set free, but he still lives in the jail cell with the door closed and shackled. Even though he's legally free, he just lives there because no one has come in and told him, hey, you're free. And he's never stood up and said, wait a minute, I'm free, and shaken off the shackles and, you know, and demanded his release. And see, that's where, sad to say, a lot of Christians are, because we haven't been taught correctly according to the Word. We haven't known. It's not that people have been on purpose trying to mislead us. There's just, you know, the devil's a liar. Have you noticed that? He is known as a deceiver. That's his, like, big thing he works with. He's a deceiver, and he lies. And so he has come up with all these elaborate plans to keep people in bondage who are actually free people. But he has come up with all these schemes. And that body of knowledge that he uses, that's under the guise of church and the Bible, and that uses scripture, we call that religion. You know, I know sometimes people, they're like, you're not religious. And we're, you know, some of us would be very offended if people called us religious, because we have an idea of what it means to be religious. In our minds, that's what the devil's doing. He's, you know, it's a lot of tradition and a lot of, works and acts and all of these things that have nothing to do with what Jesus has done for us. But, you know, think about it. Many of you were in your life, you were good church going people, but you lived in bondage to the law and death because you didn't know. You didn't know you had been made free. Maybe you knew you were free a little bit. None of us are walking in the fullness of our freedom. But nevertheless, tonight we are all absolutely free. Not because we deserve it, not, you know, like she just talked about with January's dad, that he'd lived a good life, and because he lived a good life, you know, this is what people think. If only I'd lived a good life, then maybe. But who among us has lived a good life? Some of you are like, yeah, I'm a good person. But then I just want to remind you what Jesus said. Jesus said that if you've even thought it, that it is counted as if you did it. And we've all thought some stuff. I mean, I thought some today. I was dealing with somebody, and I would just as soon had just taken a baseball bat to the side of their head. I was so angry. But I was angry and I didn't sin, because the Bible says be angry and sin not. And I never crossed that line over into sin. Praise the Lord. Okay. But anyway, we were all born under that law of sin and death. How did we get under that law of sin and death? Does anybody know? We were born into it. It started out, remember, I'm not going to take time to go there because we had testimonies, but if you go over in Genesis chapter 2, around verse 16, God's talking to Adam, and he gives him some instruction, and one thing he tells him is that there's a tree here in the garden I don't want you to eat from. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you can eat freely from every other tree here, but don't be eating from this tree. And, you know, and we don't know how long that he went without eating from it. It's not clear according to the scripture, the time. We don't know. It could have been, who knows, thousands of years. It could have been about 3 hours. We don't know. But there was some period of time between the time God said, don't do it. It wasn't long before he was eating it. And when he did that, it was disobedience to God. He stepped outside of what God had told him to do. And when he did, he rebelled against God. And when he opened up the door then, that's what, you know, sin ultimately is rebelling against God. Talk about missing the mark. He missed it completely. And when he did, it plunged him into sin and death. And because we were all in him, it plunged us into sin and death. And there we were in a terrible place. And then Romans, anybody got the book of Romans chapter 5 in their Bibles? Let me flip over here to Romans in my Bible. Romans just has such good stuff about this. Well, of course, I was reading from Romans 8, but Romans chapter 5 just plainly lays out. We'll begin reading around verse 12. I'll read verse 12, and it says this. Therefore, just as through one man, that man Adam, sin entered the world and death came, death through sin. So death came through sin. Why did death come through sin? Because the wages of sin are death. The payday on sin is death. And thus, death spread to all men because all sinned. Because we were there in Adam when he sinned, and that sin nature came in us. And then death spread to all of us. So that's how we got under that law of sin and death. And then let's go down to, I don't know, let's look at verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. In other words, we got a gift from Adam. It wasn't a good gift, but we got it. It was, he plunged us into the, under the law of sin and death. And then it goes on to say, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. So we were born condemned. That's what Jesus made reference to in John chapter 3. Right after John chapter 3:16, he goes on to say that we're already condemned. We were born condemned. People are so concerned about being condemned, or people are concerned about if God's going to condemn them. Here's the deal. Every person's born condemned. You don't have to do anything to be condemned. We're condemned when we show up because of our sin nature. We're already messed up when we show up. It's coming out of that sin nature, coming out of that condemnation that Jesus, that's it, what his gift is all about. And then it says, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that kind of shows us where our connection between Adam and Christ, what Adam did, he took us under that law of sin and death. Now, the law of sin and death is a law that you showed up on planet Earth subject to. Now, we also have a law that when we're all born, we're subject to. It's called the law of gravity. We're all subject to the law of gravity. And you can think you're not. Let me just say it this way. You can be completely ignorant of the law of gravity, but it doesn't matter. You're still subject to it. You're still living under the burden of it. You still, you know, you're not free from it. And you get up one morning and be really mad and say, you know, I'm just sick of this law of gravity. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You're not going to get free of it just because you're sick of it. And, you know, you can go and be hypnotized. And, you know, you can go through hypnosis, or you could, you know, you could go through all these things that people go through in life to try to make a change. But it doesn't matter. Whatever you go through does not matter. You are still subject to the law of gravity. There is no way out from under the law of gravity. The only way that you can get free from the law of gravity is to break free from the earth. Because the law of gravity, it's here on earth. You have to break free from earth's atmosphere to get free from the law of gravity. Well, that's the same thing with the law of sin and death. You show up on earth, you got the law of gravity you're subject to, you're subject to the law of sin and death. And the only way for you to get out from under the law of sin and death is to break free. And the only way to break free is in Christ. That's the only way that we can break free from that law. But the law of sin and death, what does the law of sin and death do? Well, it brings death. That makes sense. It's because of sin, the wages sin pays is death. And so what's happened is we're all subject to the wages that sin pays. And I tell you, I think that we cannot even fathom what a world without sin would be like. There would be no dying, there would be no decay. I don't know about y'all, but I can't wait to get rid of the dust. How many of y'all think dust is like the stupidest thing there is? I can't think of one thing that's positive about dust, but yet it's just, it is there. It doesn't matter what you do. In my house, we have an abundance of dust because certain people like to do things that cause dust. We won't go into that because it could be me. But anyway, there is massive dust in my house because of me. It's not just me shedding my skin either. They say most dust is from human skin. That's gross. Do what? Yeah, who's hungry now? But anyway, You know, and so you have that. That is all from, that's all comes from that. And if you just think of that rust and corrosion, you start thinking about the decay that's in. You can't even, we don't know what absolute life is. We don't know what the absence of sin and death is like. We don't have any idea. It's just, we can think, you know, we think of heaven. I know when Matt does funerals, he usually talks about heaven, and it's so wonderful to try to imagine what heaven's like. But you and me don't know what heaven's like. We just have a little tiny notion. Probably most of it goofed up, you know. Maybe somebody that said they went there, we listen to them and think, oh. You know, I heard one time somebody talked about that they went to heaven, and they talked about how the flowers were there. And they talked about how, like, flowers were growing on the walls. You know, like how we have wallpaper that's flowers, but there's real flowers on the wall. And then that when you walk by, the flowers turn so that they're facing you. I don't know if this is true, but it sounded good, didn't it? It's kind of weird. It's kind of creepy. It's kind of like the eyes that never, but like that, you know, they're always presenting their best side to you, you know. And I mean, you just hear these things and it kind of just blows your mind. You can't even imagine. I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff in heaven that we have no notion of. We lost so much in the fall. The earth was just ruined in the fall. And then what the fall didn't ruin, flood took care of it, took care of the rest. From between the fall and the flood, the earth's been done in. We're trying to save the earth. I'm telling you, the earth needs to just be burned up, and we need to get a new one. And the Bible says that's what's going to happen. I mean, it needs to last as long as, but eventually it's going to get burned up, and we're getting a new one. Thank God. We need a new one. This one we've abused, but it started out with the abuse that happened in the fall, and then, like I said, the flood. You ever thought about that? You just get a little mud going, and what a mess that is. Imagine a flood that covers everything. Water can be very destructive. You know, you just think, you just, I have a sofa, and my sofa was backed up to a window. It's so aggravating. This beautiful, nice leather sofa, it was backed up to a window. And the sun, we all love the sun. We have to have the sun. It gives us vitamin D. Life could not exist without the sun. But the sun bleached out my leather sofa. Life on planet Earth is so, just what I'm describing, all of that came as a result of the law of sin and death. But that hasn't even gotten to you and me and what came in our lives as a result. Strife, jealousy, insecurity, shame, guilt, sickness, lack. I mean, these are just some of the things that came. You just think about what came on mankind as a result of us going under that law of sin and death. And we show up here under that law. Just like we're subject to it, just like we're subject to the law of gravity. And we rebel against it, and you know, people will fight against it. And, you know, it's just like you see people, they fight against their sin nature. You know, they're going to be a better person. I'm not going to do it tomorrow. I'm not going to do it tomorrow. I'm sure, not to pick on January's dad, but I'm sure he spent a lot of days saying, I'm not going to drink today. I'm not going to drink today. But just to comfort himself while he wasn't drinking, he probably had to have a little drink. You know, it's just really, some of you have been hopelessly addicted to drugs. And I say hopelessly, and that's not really the right word, because Jesus came and delivered you and set you free. Thank God, set you free from all kinds of things. But I'm just telling you, whether you were addicted to something that's, you know, so notable like alcohol or drugs, or it was some other thing, all of us were so messed up. That all came as a result of that being subject to the law of sin and death. But Jesus has made us free. First of all, we're made free from sin. I'm not going to take time to read there, but if you go over into the and read there, well, I think I will read it. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. We've got a few minutes here. I can read it. Romans chapter 6. What does it mean that we are free from the law of sin and death? I'm going to share four things that it means. The first thing is that we are free from sin. And I know, I think I tend to talk about this a lot sometimes when I preach, but people don't know this. People don't know they're free from sin. That's one thing I have discovered, is so many Christians don't realize they're free from sin. And I just want to tell you tonight, you are free from sin. You do not have to sin. You are not a person who is going to have to sin, and that sin is always going to be a struggle for you, because you used to be subject to that law of sin, death. But you've been bought out from under that, and now you have a new law that you're subject to. And it may, you know, take you a while to walk free, to understand your freedom and to walk free. But how many of you tonight can just encourage us by saying that there were times in your life you were bound by sin, but now you can, I'm free from things that used to bind me. Look at that. Look around the room. Let that encourage us tonight. That's the law of life in Christ Jesus in action right now. Thank God for that. We're no longer subject to that law of sin and death. And we're no longer slaves of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this. See, again, it's what you know and what you act on, the knowledge you act on, that really brings freedom. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Now see, one thing I really like about this is he doesn't mention here that it's when we are resurrected that we are free from sin. It says when he was resurrected. That we identify with him in his resurrection. It was his resurrection that made us free. It's not our resurrection, in other words, that we die and go to heaven, that's going to make us free from sin. We are free from sin because he died and was resurrected, and we get in on it because of that. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful that I can live in this earth not subject to the law of sin and death. I'm telling you, that's good news, because I don't want to be a slave of sin. Sin is a brutal taskmaster. It is brutal. Let's face it, sin is brutal. Sin will kill you. Sin will destroy you. Sin will make you miserable. Some people act like sin is a lot of fun and that, you know, like, well, we're going to cut back on our sinning and get in church and be good people. I'm telling you, if you are trapped in sin and enslaved in sin, you do not know what real joy is. You don't know what peace is. You don't know. You might think it's fun. You have no idea what fun is. I'm telling you, you don't know. And some people might look at us and think, oh, they're in church on Wednesday night. I mean, oh, wow, boring. Boy, they don't know anything about having fun. I tell you, tell me something that's greater than doing what Rachel did, changing somebody's eternal destiny. Tell me something. Tell me a club that's offering something better than that. You got something? Tell me a drug that will make you higher than ministering God's healing power to somebody. There's no drug. There's nothing. You're right. There's nothing. Nothing. Sin is not what it's, you know, what it purports itself to be. I tell you, we should sue sin for false advertising. It itself is a lie. It's a lie. Sin is a lie. Sin is a lie. I mean, even things like adultery. You think adultery's fun until you ruin your family, until you mess up your body. You goof your life all up. I can give you a long list of numbers to call of people who thought adultery was just great fun until the death part started seeping in. It's not so fun anymore. It's not so fun, and it's not so fun when the kids that used to adore you and reverence you and honor you, and they realize you're a cheating scoundrel. It's not nearly as much fun. Not fun at all. All right. He who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. You could say it this way. Death no longer. You're no longer a subject of death. This is talking about the same thing. You're no longer subject to that law of sin and death. That's what Paul's talking about here in this chapter. The same thing he talks about two chapters later. How you've been set free from that law. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So we are free from sin. That's what being free from the law of sin and death does. In a very practical way, we are no longer enslaved by sin. So you can, if tonight you have sin and that you're struggling with or things you're dealing with, it seems like something like a cycle we read earlier, kind of a cycle of sin. I tell you, it might seem hard now, but it starts with being aware of the fact that you are free from that. Resist it like you would resist something else. If somebody was coming in here tonight trying to put you in chains and drag you away and sell you into physical slavery, I'm sure you would resist. I would hope you would resist. Wouldn't you resist? If somebody came in, they're going to drag you. Well, in that same way, resist. If sin is trying to drag you away into sin, resist it. Put up a fight. Don't just act like you got a hook in your nose and I just can't help myself. Resist it. You'd be amazed what a little resistance will do. So here's the second thing. Because we're free from sin, we are free from the penalty of sin. We just talked about that. What's the penalty of sin? Death. And really, anything that produces death, we're free from that. Now, we're talking about in this series, we're talking about seeing your true identity, seeing who you really are. And these are things that you have to know about yourself and accept and believe and stand on and reprogram your thinking and meditate on it. You have to realize I am free from sin and I am free from the effects of sin. And so when those things show up, you resist. When those things show up, you reject them. You put up a fight against them. So we're not subject to anything that sin would produce. And it reminds me, some of you were there on Sunday morning, showed a video from Brother Hagin. He shares a story in the video about a woman whose husband had fallen, I think it was on an oil rig, some kind of equipment out in the oil fields, and he had fallen, and the doctors thought he was dead, and had brought Brother Hagin. They told him he was dead, but by the time they got there, the doctor said, well, I thought he was dead, but he's not. He's almost dead. And so Brother Hagin's standing there with one of his, and the guy's young, you know, he's younger. He's in his 40s, I think. And he's standing there looking at him, and the doctor's saying he's just about dead. And the guy's wife, Brother, the doctor talks to Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin goes over to the guy's wife. The guy's wife said, Brother Hagin said, the doctor told you that he's not going to make it, didn't he? And Brother Hagin said, well, yes. And I'm sure as a pastor, he's kind of looking to prepare for it. And she goes, well, isn't it good that we have inside information? Well, you know what she was saying? She was saying, isn't it good that we are free from that law of sin and death? Isn't it good that we aren't subject to that anymore? Isn't it good that we are now partakers through Christ Jesus of that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? That's what she was saying. She was saying, I got inside information. See, premature death, early death, that's part of the curse. That's part of that sin and death that's at work. And my husband doesn't have to die early. I have inside information. See, and maybe for you it's not falling in an oil rig. Maybe it's you walk into a doctor's office and he shows you a chart and he says, I know you can't see inside of your, you know, body cavity, but we looked in there with these x-rays and look at that. That's eating you up from the inside. And you could look at that, but you know what you're looking at? You're looking at the law of sin and death that you're not subject to. See, you're not subject to that. So you could be just like that woman and you could turn and look at your spouse, or you could walk out of there and call your friend and say, isn't it good we have inside information? Isn't it good? And there are 1,000 opportunities in life to say, isn't it good we have inside information? Isn't it good that we've been redeemed from that? We talked a couple of weeks ago about being redeemed. That was this law, sin, and death. We were bought out from under its dominion. So we are redeemed. I don't know about you, but I talk about being redeemed. Do you talk about that?
Yes.
Matt and I talk about that. We'll say, thank God we're redeemed. And we'll state various things. I'm redeemed from this. And, you know, sometimes things like they talk to you. The television will talk to you. If you just watch TV for very long, particularly a TV channel where people over age 50 view it. You know, I don't know if they do this on MTV because I don't watch that. But, you know, if the primary audience is maybe 35 and older, boy, they have got the things. You could just sit because all these prescription drug companies are paying big bucks to advertise. So I'm telling you, you can get a lot of things dysfunction and not just your, you know, there's a lot of dysfunction that's available. I mean, all kinds of opera. I mean, just, I'm telling you, you can't read Reader's Digest without finding out about a new disease that never existed before. I didn't know people had that, and there it is. And like, you know, I'm telling you, and have you ever noticed that when you see things like that, you'll see somebody and it may look kind of like you or your mama or somebody you know, or the devil's really good at telling you, well, that's probably what you're going to get. The devil's really good at deceiving people. He's a liar. Remember, we started out talking about how he's a liar. And don't think he's not lying to you. It's amazing. If we could really see the thoughts that are coming in our head, how many of those thoughts are fiery darts? And we don't recognize them as such because they don't have, like, you know, big signs on them that says, beware, beware, this is a thought from the ugly devil. No, they just seem like our own thoughts. But it's actually the enemy. He's trying to deceive us and get us to buy into that law of sin and death. That very thing that you and me have been redeemed from. That very thing that we are free from.
Yes.
Got inside information. Praise the Lord. And then my final point tonight is this. That death, Now, I just want to mention a little bit about death. Death for a believer is totally different than death for somebody that's not saved. See, that law of sin and death, one of the things that we're subject to under the law of sin and death, Hebrews tells us that it puts people in bondage. The Bible talks about in Hebrews that that people and Christians are in the same boat because they're not aware that they're not, you know, subject to that anymore, that they live in bondage to the fear of death. And that fear of death paralyzes them. And I talked about this some time ago, sometime this year I talked about it, about how we have to break free of that fear of death if we're going to walk free of fear in our lives, because that is such a primary fear in our lives. Well, I really love what Paul wrote here in Philippians chapter 1. It just gives you a whole different perspective on death for a saved person. Philippians 1 verse 21, he said, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." So I don't know. Those are your two options. Live, Christ, die, gain. Live, Christ, die, gain. See, I'm just telling you, we don't necessarily think of death as gain. It's something that, you know, come on. Live, Christ, die, gain. Those are the two options. In other words, the worst thing that could possibly ever happen is a gain. The worst news you could get tonight about one of your loved ones is a gain for them. To live is Christ, to die is gain. That's the deal. Can you see why we have to like reprogram our thinking? Because we don't necessarily think that way. We see it as a different thing. But he said, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I'm going to tell you, we have no idea how much of a gain it is. It is an amazing gain. Those of us whose loved ones have gone on to be with the Lord, they really got something over on us. They have gained. We cannot even begin to think of what they have gained. Come on, they're in the presence of Jesus in the living reality of it. And never again do they ever have to have an anxious, worried, concerned thought for a moment. How about that? Just being removed from that. There is no longer temptation towards fear or temptation towards sin or temptation towards living subject to that law of sin and death in any way. There is no threat whatsoever. See, I think once we're removed from this realm and all that the burden that we really are under here, living in this world that's subject to sin and death, even though we're free from it, I think, man, what a relief. It's a relief just to get out of your body. Imagine what a relief it is just to get away from all the stuff here on planet Earth. And the people. Okay. he said, "And to die is gain, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I'm hard-pressed between the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Say, far better.
Far better.
See, it's far better. Now, I'm not trying to talk any of you into going tonight, and I'm not trying to, you know, like encourage you in that way. I'm not. We need you. Stay here. Stay put. Do your job. Don't bail on us. But I'm telling you, we got to change our thinking about it, and we got to start recognizing it is far better. It is far better. Far better. Far better. And then I just want to close with, I'm going to read this to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. It says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Praise God. It doesn't have to be a funeral for you to read that. Praise God. Sin, that law of sin and death no longer rules over us, and that sting of sin is broken. And we have victory in Christ, even though we haven't laid down these mortal, you know, bodies that are decaying. But I'm telling you, we are still free. We are free. We are free tonight. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We are free tonight. We are free. And all we have to look forward to is good and gain. life abundantly for us here. When this is done, man, if it's today or, you know, 100 years from now, whenever it's done, woo, it's good days. Oh, man, can you imagine? I can't even. How wonderful. How wonderful. How wonderful to be with Jesus. How wonderful. In the meanwhile, we're with him here. He's with us, and we're free now. So we might as well go ahead and take advantage of being free now. Y'all, let's stand. We'll close up here tonight. Father, thank you so much that we have been made free, no longer subject to that law of sin and death. We are free tonight, free people. Hallelujah. And we thank you so much tonight for the law, the life in Christ Jesus. Thank you that that's what we have. We're no longer subject under that weight and that burden of sin and death. Father, we're so thankful tonight. So thankful we're no longer due the wages and the penalty of sin. Thank you tonight for all that Jesus came and he removed all that from us. Hallelujah. We're free tonight. And we have your goodness and gain and far better and victory to look forward to. That's all that is before us. We have no fear in death. We have no fear in the future. And we thank you so much tonight. This is